Yes, yes. Welcome back. I'm Alfred Levant Weber, and with we're with Ole Damgaard, author, and lecturer now coming to Barcelona, as I understand it. Who's here to talk to us about a series of false flags culminating in one recently in Copenhagen that he had actually predicted. So please welcome, Ole.
Thank you so much, Alfred. Thank you for having me back here. I just want to say that I spent some 30 years of my life looking into major conspiracies, major assassinations, many of them that we have discussed on your show and so on, and but also false flag operations. Since I would say that false flag operation is one of the main tools for the people in power to use as a way of duping the population into accepting their very brutal and controlling agenda. And so I think it's extremely important to see and go through these different so-called terror acts and see, are they real terror acts? Because in that case, we have to focus on the Muslim population and see, my God, what are they up to? Why are they doing all these awful things? Or are we looking at so-called false flag operations that are staged events blamed on a minority, but with a hidden agenda that is a very, very dark and sinister agenda,
Right.
in my opinion.
Right.
So, like I say, I spent many years looking into false flag operations, and I would humbly suggest that more or less all wars in modern time are based on false flag operations.
Right.
So it's absolutely nothing new. It's the term false flag comes from, it's an old naval term, and it comes from that in the old days, if you wanted to go in, rape and plunder a country, instead of having problems with your neighboring countries or other governments and so on, what you did was you simply put the enemy's flag or the country you wanted to invade their flag on one of your own ships. Then you let that ship attack yourself, and then you said, oh my God, we're being attacked. Because of this, we need to retaliate. And that would justify for whatever, the invasion or whatever. And also, it's also based on an old Roman tactic that we've been mentioning many times. It's one of the major ones. It's called problem, reaction, solution. The people in power secretly create a problem. But in these days, it's almost always a very violent problem. It's a so-called terror act. It's a mass shooting. It's a very brutal assassination. It can be a very scary virus. It can be a financial devastating event or something like that. They secretly create it to get the reaction from us. And the reaction they want from us is like, oh my God, oh my God, we need to be saved. Help us, help us, help us. And then we, the population, will turn towards the people that we believe that we've elected to sort these things out, not understanding that they're actually the ones who carry it out, who are behind the problem. And every single time, their solution will be that you have to give up more of your liberties. You have to give up your freedom, your human rights, your civil rights. You will have to accept more and more surveillance, more and more in intrusive measurement into your privacy. You will have to accept more and more scanners and cameras and robocops in the streets and tanks and martial law. You name it. If you think back just before, like in the 1990s, where before 9/11, if you compare society globally, more or less, or at least in the Western world, from how it was before 9/11 to the cyber science fiction world we're living in today, you would be absolutely shocked had this gone overnight. But now, since they've been pumping us with all these so-called terror acts, making us believe that the world is absolutely filled with crazy maniacs that runs around screaming Allah Akbar, blowing things up. We have welcomed all of this. And please, please, there's more FEMA camps, more tanks, more Robocops. I'll be happy to give away all my liberties and I will pay you for, to do it with all my taxes. Please go ahead. So, because of this, once again, I think it's extremely important to look into these events.
Right, right. Exactly. So could there almost seems to be a wave of attempted false flags occurring, and so could you talk about the latest one in Copenhagen, its date, its context, its significant one.
If it would be okay with you, I would like to go back a little bit in history first.
Sure.
It's one of the things when you look at these things, they do multiple things at the same time. They carry out, when it's a false flag, they carry out a staged event that nowadays very often doesn't even happen in real life. We're talking actors, we're talking like a film set, but to get the impact through media, out through the black box in front of you, that's the one they aim at. And not only do they do it like that, they also aim at the... sorry, I totally lost the thread now.
Oh, sorry.
A while ago, I was given the info from a source that the next places they were going to carry these things out would be Dublin, Paris, Copenhagen, and somewhere in Italy. Because what we're looking at, it looks like things that has these events are not connected. I would strongly suggest that they are very much connected. That we are actually seeing like almost like a theater group going on a global tour. Using the same people from place to place to place to place to
oh.
keep it in a very, very controlled area where they can control everything from background action to vehicles to all of these things. And I believe that these people, this group of people, including whoever, the producer, the director, the background extras, the so-called police, the SWAT teams, all of that. We're looking at the same people, but taken from country to country to country. So when you look at a SWAT team in Paris running around, the only difference is that it says police in French on their back. And when you look at them in Copenhagen, it would say police. I would very much strongly suggest that they might be this, even the same actors, keeping it very limited. And in this way, they can, you know, they don't have to rehearse so much every time. Everybody knows their roles more or less. And you just transport them, I would suggest, maybe in army trains, going to army bases. Because all of these countries that are being hit are NATO countries. So more or less all of them, as far as I know. Or they're connected with different agreements, like the Ecolon or anything like that. So... I had this information that these were the Fornax targets from an inside source.
And right. Could you repeat those target names, please?
It was Dublin, Paris, Copenhagen, and somewhere in Italy. Then a few days later, I was sent by a man on Ireland. He sent me an image. He said, I think this is a really sinister image that are being spread in media on Ireland. And there are four photos, and it's like there are four banners, and it says like Israel now, Dublin next. And then there's a sculpture in Dublin of the death. You know, it's very dark, like the man in the movies. Or a woman, you know, the death figure, and there's a bomb in front of it. Then there's an image of where it says Israel now, Paris next, and then it's the Mona Lisa with a big grenade in front of it. Then there's one photo from Copenhagen with a little mermaid where it says Israel now, Copenhagen is. And then there's one of an Italian statue where it says Israel now, Italy is. So more or less at the same time when I started looking into this, there was a bombing in Dublin. And the Intel plant was attacked. Nothing really happened. But after that, ISIS took responsibility for that one. And I'm sure your listeners are very knowledgeable about ISIS, that it has been a total hoax, the whole thing. So when they took responsibility for that, fine. Then came the Paris event. And when the second one happened, and after looking deeply into that and clearly exposing it as a false flag, which I'm going to do here on your program, then I thought, oh my God, Dublin, Paris, could it be that Copenhagen could be next? So what I did was I've been for a long time trying to get one step ahead of them instead of always be reacting to see, oh my God, this happened, and then we look into it. I want us to be one step ahead of them so that as soon as they even start setting the whole thing up, we are going to be on their case, putting the spotlight right on them, defusing possible new false flag operations. So when this happened, I went out big time on Facebook and other social media, and I said, please, anyone in Denmark, be aware of that most of the time, a drill is a major ingredient in these false flag operations. They have the drill there, I believe, to be able to get vehicles in position, explosives in positions, extras in there, even do the patsy to get in a position where he can later be blamed and killed for whatever it is. Him believing that it's a drill. Many of the people involved believing it's a drill, and then suddenly it goes live. You will see these drills happen in many, many of these ones. 9/11 is one, the Boston bombing, the 7/7 bombs, the sinking of Estonia, and so forth. Also, the latest Ottawa shooting, there was a big drill going on there as well. So I went out and said, please, please, if you see anything in the local newspapers about tonight we're going to do a drill here or a mass shooting drill in the school there or something like that, please go there, bring your friends, bring your camera, bring your video cameras and mobile phones, film these people, film them while they're setting the whole thing up. Make it very obvious that they're being observed, so that if this should be something more dark than just a drill for our protection, then we might even be able to give them cold feet and make them back off and get away, you know, and stop this thing. I went out big time there, and quite a few went down there because, no, sorry, then few days later, I got a photo sent to me from a friend in Denmark, and he said that I was on my way home from work today, and I saw this big poster in central Copenhagen where there was this smiling female soldier saying, tonight we're going to have a big drill, security drill, at one of the main train stations in central Copenhagen. It's going to be the night between the 14th and the 15th of January. So this man sent me the photo of the poster and said, could this be what you're talking about? I said, yes, 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 thank you so much for being so observant. So I got people to go down there and film whatever was going on that night. This was the night between the 14th and the 15th of January. Nothing happened, and I don't know, was there something planned or not, but the main thing was that nothing happened. Then, exactly 1 month later, on the hour, boom, this thing happened in Copenhagen, where we had a new massacre like this. So, by me predicting it more or less on the hour, but 1 month longer, this has caused a lot of attention, which is wonderful, because then even more people would be aware of this, and then we will be able to avoid the next thing in Italy.
Right.
So And also, according to my friend, the CIA whistleblower Chip Tatum, who had been involved in false flag operations, he said that when they do these things, they have a very strict timeline. And if we can interrupt this timeline, it can take them months to recover.